In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Welcome to St. Philip Row Presbyterian Church. My name's Ben Walker, I'm the minister here. We as God's people worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who 40 days after his Easter resurrection ascended to be with his Father in heaven. So we believe that Jesus reigns in power over all things, that he pours out grace and strength to us by his Spirit, and that one day he will return in glory to gather his people and make all things new. So today and forever, our hope is found in Christ alone. Let's pray together. all-powerful God, our Heavenly Father, your Son Jesus came to earth not to be served, but to serve. But now he is enthroned at your right hand where he rules in glory. Lord, we praise you for this. And as you reign as King in our hearts and over our world, may we rejoice in your peace, glory in your justice, live in your love. Lord, we sing of your lordship over all of creation, but we confess too often we've acted as though you are powerless in the face of today's events. Forgive us, renew our faith, open our eyes to see you at work. Lord, help us to live with confidence in your presence today and in hope for life with you forever. Pour out your Spirit on our lives as we worship in your name and strengthen us to live for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm here in the room behind the stage, the old front door, and just at the bottom of the tower. So a room used for storage, and it's a little bit creaky. You've perhaps heard the wind and the door going outside. But it's also a room that recently Robert Clark and others were clearing out with the idea that it might be a great space for a prayer room. And indeed, it has been used for that. Next weekend, the 29th to the 31st of May, we're creating something of a virtual 24/7 prayer room at St. Phil Road to have a St. Phil Road prayer weekend. It's Pentecost, when we recall the pouring of God's Spirit out on his people. No better time to encounter God then, to enjoy his presence and to join in his work. So from 9 o'clock on Friday to 11 o'clock on Sunday next weekend, there are 50 one-hour prayer slots. Consecutive slots which you can sign up to pray during. You can do that by going to our Facebook page and joining the SRPC virtual prayer room page there, or through our website, both of which take you to 24/7 prayer, where you can pick up and pick a slot. Well, lots are filled in already, but don't let that stop you. More than one person or group can sign up for a slot, and if you don't have access to this, you can still choose an hour over that weekend to pray. Ultimately, it's the praying, not the signing up on the internet, that really counts. But we'd love to get all 50 hours covered. You don't have to pray with others. You can do it on your own, or you can do it with family members, or you can join a small group on Zoom. You can pray wherever suits best. Your living room, your bedroom, store cupboard, kitchen, garden, out on the walk. And if you're worried an hour seems a long time, well, we've got some resources that will be up from Thursday on Facebook and on the website that'll help lead you in prayer across all ages. Time will go faster than you think. Wait and see. On Saturday night, we'll also have a worship from home video up on the website that Wally's doing a great job of organising, with lots of praise led by different people from the congregation from their homes, and prayers and readings and a reflection from Wally. Join us at 7 o'clock if you can, though like the services, it will be available a bit earlier and forever after. Then on Sunday, we'll bring it all together in our Pentecost worship service, where I hope you'll hear lots of different voices pray, and then finish with a Zoom catch-up at 12 p.m. afterwards. There are the details. Join us for a great weekend. And don't forget, E20M is available now with Sarah McCulloch. Well, last week we left Ruth and Naomi on a bit of a cliffhanger. Boaz, the man, was heading off to town to see if he could settle the matter of their future. Would the closer Redeemer want to claim Elimelech's inheritance, or would Boaz be able to marry Ruth and provide for her and Naomi? What would the future hold?
Ruth chapter 4. Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there, just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off a sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. This then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David.
Well, we noted last week the Abba structure of this beautifully written story of Ruth, and how we were looking to chapter 4 to reflect and reverse chapter 1. So first, we come to the loyalty of Boaz to what he promised to do, reflecting Ruth's loyalty from chapter 1. As he heads to the town gate, the gathering place of the elders of the town and the effective law court. And as we see that, those twin themes of God's providence at work behind the scenes and godly character are as present in the story as ever. So God is at work. And as Boaz gets there, and as he sits down, the kinsman redeemer, the closer relative he'd mentioned to Ruth, happens to turn up. So Boaz gets the scene set for the deal. He gathers 10 elders and as witnesses, a bit like a jury, and he puts the matter to the nameless kinsman redeemer. In the first instance, it seems a straight property deal. Naomi is selling a patch of land that belonged to Elimelech. "You're first in line," says Boaz. "Will you redeem it? Because if not, I will." "I'll redeem it," says the guy. Ah, now, this isn't the ending we've been looking for. But Boaz, the man, he's got it under control. "Okay," says Boaz, "here's the Here's the small print, just to be clear. On the day that you acquire the land from Naomi and Ruth, the Moabites, just a reminder of a detail you may or may not find palatable, but you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. So Ruth comes with the land, and as redeemer, this man's going to need to play his part in providing an heir and a future for her as Elimelech's family. If this guy took on Ruth and had a child with her, the land he was about to pay for would be inherited by that son, not by his own children. Whilst in the meantime, he would be paying out to bring up this new family. To this nameless man, the cost was too high. The whole deal jeopardized his own financial affairs. "No thanks," he says, having looked at the fine print. "You redeem it. I can't." And so the deal is sealed, bound and legalized by the symbol of taking off and handing over a sandal, the nameless kinsman redeemer, who can no longer redeem, hands over the rights to Boaz. And Boaz, witnessed by those assembled, redeems the property, takes Ruth as his wife, and secures the future for this family. Boaz has played it wisely and beautifully. Over and above the other guy's more limited interest, Boaz, who now emerges indisputably as the true kinsman redeemer in this story, is prepared to be sacrificial, to pay the cost, to take a risk. Like Ruth, he steps forward to commit when he needs to, rather than shrinking back. And he is blessed by it. He receives the reward he is looking for. And the elders recognize it and pray for him and his new family. Our Abba structure reminds us again that following the loyalty of Boaz comes the reversal of fortune for Naomi and Ruth. A story which began in tragedy and death now ends in hope and life. A husband and now a son for Ruth in verse 13. But even more for Naomi, who we've followed from the beginning, who lost a husband and two sons, who came back bitter and broken, but turned back to God. Naomi, in whom we have seen God at work stage by stage along the journey, Naomi now holds a child in her lap. Naomi has a son. Naomi has hope. Naomi has a future. And the people around Naomi recognize what the storyteller has been telling us from the beginning. The Lord has been providentially at work in her life. He has been bringing her back to him. He's been at work behind the scenes. He has brought people into her life. There's been Boaz, whose redeeming kindness is now sustaining her and renewing her in her old age. And there's Ruth. Ruth, someone she might not have initially expected or hoped for as a companion. Ruth was no son, and Naomi tried to send her back to Moab. But Ruth, who proved to be faithful as a companion, and as the people tell Naomi, better to you than seven sons. There are people who God puts into our life who we could write off, but who actually, through their character, become a real blessing to us. God works then in his own time and ways in Naomi and Ruth's lives and in our lives. And it's not necessarily our ways or time, or even in some matters in our lifetime. This story will stretch on way beyond Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. But there's no reason not to hope. With God, there is always hope and a future. With God, there is redemption. We began the story of Ruth with a jigsaw. Here's the second one that Ruth and I have completed during lockdown. But it's all about the big picture and the little picture. Our personal story finding its true place in God's big story. And God's big story being worked out in and through our personal stories. The story of Ruth, we said from the very beginning, is a story of redemption. The story of a redeemer at work in and through history. And our story finds its true place in his redeeming story. In verses 11 and 12 of chapter 4, the elders look back, understandably, to great figures of the past they know of, as they pray blessing on Ruth and Boaz and Naomi. May Ruth, this Moabite woman, be like Rachel and Leah, great mothers of Israel, Jacob's wives. May Boaz be famous in Bethlehem. May their offspring be like Perez, recalling the story of Genesis 38 with similarities and contrasts to Ruth and Boaz's story. These elders are already putting it into the slightly bigger perspective. But then the storyteller ends in verses 18 to 22 by putting a jigsaw piece into place in the yet bigger picture still. Here is a piece of the family tree that stretches on to David, but actually fits into the bigger picture, reaching back to God's promises to Abraham, as we see in Matthew 1. Indeed, back to God's creation of Adam, as you can see in Luke chapter 3. But looking forward to the birth of Jesus Christ. The past has great moments and people, but the future was going to be even better. The true kinsman redeemer, greater than Boaz, was to come. The Lord has not left us without a kinsman redeemer from Bethlehem, who profoundly renews and sustains us. Through the redeeming transaction of a sandal, God was working towards the redeeming transaction of the cross of Christ, as this beautiful painting highlights. The true king, greater than grandson David, was also to come. Jesus, now risen and ascended, is Lord and King of all. Through Ruth and Boaz, through us, in us, around us, even despite us, God is working out his big plan in Jesus Christ and by his Spirit. And even now, the future to come is far greater than the glories of the past or the difficulties of the present. So as we put our faith in the Lord who is at work in history through Christ, as we place our story in his story, we see his story at work in our stories. We've seen it for Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. We can see it for ourselves. God is at work in our story. Here's another piece of art from the story of Ruth that Alfan Ruth Thompson shared with me. It's a picture of Ruth, but her outline is made up of the words of this chapter, Ruth 4. God's redeeming words, literally shaping her life. God's story at work in her. We talked about Ruth as a story marked by brokenness, tragedy, loss, pain, bitterness, poor choices, regret, insecurity, and lived out in a murky culture in which everyone does as they see fit. None of these areas is left untouched by God in this story or in ours. The God who forgives and heals, the God who renews and sustains. Now, not everything is redeemed by a marriage or a baby, and not everything is made just right here and now. And what does happen happens in God's timing and God's ways, not ours. But one day, we will know the ultimate future God has prepared for us in Jesus Christ. And even now, we might ask, where are we seeing the providential Lord who is at work in Ruth, lining up circumstances and people, perhaps surprising but faithful people, for his purposes in our lives, even where they seem mundane and insignificant, but God is at work, and in our world, in all its brokenness? Is God bringing us at the moment through chastening times to call us back to himself? Naomi may have felt the Lord's hand against her, but he was drawing her back to life in him. Ruth, for her part, a young widow who once had not known God, puts her faith in the Lord. "Your God will be my God," she says. And we see the Lord at work in her life, using her powerfully. So may God open our eyes to see his providence and redemption in big ways and small, in our broken lives and in the lives of those around us. And we said this is a story of love, not simply a romantic relationship, but as we've seen, godly chesed love, that never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Love that's shown by the Lord God to us in Jesus and characterized in faithful lives, just like Boaz and Ruth. May the loving kindness of the Lord shape our character and our lives. You see, what Ruth and Boaz leave, what the elders pray to the Lord that they would continue to leave, is a legacy of faithful, godly character and choices that influences those around them and future generations. There's a challenge in Ruth, as God's story is at work in our story. May we leave a legacy of faith in our families and in our community, in the godly choices and commitments that we make. That Christ-shaped self-sacrifice, courage, risk, perseverance. May we, God's people, show the chesed, the kindness that we have been shown. But in it all, may we keep coming back to that. Like Naomi, Boaz and Ruth. Like those who look on, in brokenness and yet faith. In praise and in prayer. In life and in hope. May we keep coming back to that loving kindness of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our King.
Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning not because of who we are, but because of who you are, an all-powerful, loving, and faithful God. We remember and bring to you this morning all those known to us whose daily lives have been adversely affected by the current pandemic. Those who have lost loved ones in recent days and have been unable to be with them at the end of life's journey. Those who have loved ones currently in hospital or care settings and are unable to visit. Those who are particularly vulnerable and may feel isolated, anxious, or lonely. Give these, your children, a deep sense of your comfort and peace. We think of those who have been furloughed and may be anxious for their future employment prospects. Those who have already been made redundant or whose businesses are in difficulty and who face an uncertain future. Give them a sense of hope. Father, we praise and thank you for the many key workers, especially those in our own church family, who continue to work selflessly and tirelessly to keep our community going. All those who work in our hospitals and other medical facilities, those working in our care homes, often in difficult conditions, our emergency and response teams, and those who keep our transport services in operation. Those who work in our schools, colleges and universities. Our civil servants and municipal staff. All those working in our shops, supermarkets and other retail outlets. And charities such as Storehouse, bringing support to families in need. Forgive those of us who have, in the past, taken some of these people and services for granted. And when this is all over, help us not to forget the contributions they have made. Give all these key workers the strength and energy they need and keep them safe. We pray for our political leaders, both locally and nationally at this time. Give them energy, patience, humility and wisdom as they continue to make very difficult decisions. And give them the courage to admit it if they get things wrong. Father, we praise you and give you thanks for our families and friends. Thank you for the comfort we have received from them over the past few months, albeit mostly through the realms of technology. As restrictions are eased, may we once again be able to come together safely and enjoy each other's company once more. We thank you for our church family, together, apart. We thank you for Ben, Johnny and Jill, and the many leaders who have worked so hard behind the scenes to keep us connected. We pray for all our children, young people and their parents coming to terms with very different life patterns. We give you thanks for all those who work each week to put together our online worship service and Wednesday prayer slot, which have been a comfort and inspiration to so many. We commend to you our forthcoming weekend of prayer. May it be a time of profound reflection and deepening spiritual commitment for us all. May your name be truly glorified. In recent weeks, Ben has been leading us through the story of Ruth. It reminds us that although, like Naomi and Ruth, many of our lives have recently been turned upside down, if we look to you, we can find the strength, comfort, and support we need to help us through the challenging times ahead. And finally, thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Amen.
Well, don't forget about our prayer weekend next weekend. Come and encounter God, enjoy his presence, join in his work. But now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.